Blog Talk Welcome Radio.
Welcome to Journals of a Healer, Unleash Your Hidden Genius. Each of us comes into this life with special gifts and talents. As we learn to cope with society's demand, the rules of society, our mission here is often lost in the shuffle. Unresolved conflicts from other lifetimes add more obstacles to overcome. I'm Mary Blake. Since 1980, I've been working with multi-life therapy to rewrite history and erase karma. Journals of a Healer, a personal account of ventures beyond time, space, and so-called reality, tells my story and the remarkable experiences of about 30 clients who said goodbye to karma in private sessions. A second edition, a revision with more complete commentary and additional material, is in the works. In the meantime, I've been asked to provide inside information to help readers get a better understanding of the depth and magnitude of these visits with other incarnations and the benefits of the process. So let's get started. I actually began life in Southern Illinois in the middle of the Bible Belt, and I considered myself an intellectual and a little bit of a snob, if I must admit it. And when it came to anything like healing and past life regret, I mean, that was foreign language and crazy stuff, and whoever thought of anything like that. Well, then a bolt of lightning came right down my wall of my living room, 3 feet from where I was sitting on the floor playing solitaire and listening to the record and radio. And it activated the part of my brain that is involved with all of these crazy things that are like, you know, healing and spiritual healing and karma and all that kind of things. And guess what? 3 weeks later, I gave my very first massage to a boy at school that I barely knew. I didn't even know him. I'd just seen him a few times. And the massage worked, and he kind of panicked and said something that was weird about me. And, of course, in Southern Illinois, I was always weird. So that was kind of the beginning. And I hid out for about 25 years, pretending that I was just giving good massages. And then a couple of things happened that, it just slammed me right into the wall, and I had to absolutely admit that I was a healer and that I owed a lot to healing because I had received spontaneous healing of lung cancer at a convention, and I met other healers for the very first time of my life. And on the way home from Atlantic City, I really had to face this and realize what was going on. And I committed myself to a real, lifetime commitment as a healer. And that was kind of the beginning of it. And once I had done that, all kinds of things started to happen. I was talked into doing a healing class, giving a healing class of my own during one of the events that I was attending, because I had to, being an intellectual, I had to make myself more aware and learn everything I possibly could about this adventure that I had committed to. And the second session we did, a medical student went into a spontaneous regression into another lifetime. And she was dying of cancer. And she just was in all evidence, I mean physical evidence, and she was going on. And as a medical student, she was trying to explain what was going on in scientific terms. And I literally panicked because I didn't know what was going on, and my left hemisphere was screaming at me, this woman is flipping out, and she's going to wind up in a psych ward, and you're going to wind up in jail because this is your class and you're responsible. So I did the only thing I possibly could do, and I screamed for help inside my head. And suddenly, it was as if somebody warm and wonderful and incredibly wise and powerful was sort of putting me on like a glove. And my mouth started opening and saying just the most amazing things. And talking with this young woman and talking her through the experiencing, finding out what was going on and help and discovering it. Well, we found out that she was dying of in childbirth in colonial America. And she was just furious because her husband hadn't shown up. There's nothing that makes a woman madder than if you're dying of having somebody's baby and they're not even around. So I'm just kind of hanging there in limbo somewhere, just kind of listening and wondering and amazed at what was going on. And this is kind of the way that the book begins, because it has to tell you, you know, how these things started. And we got her back safely after she had forgiven her husband, because it turned out he was killed by Indians, and so she forgave him and went on to her spiritual rewards, as you might say. And she came back and was explaining the whole thing. And all of us in the class thought that this was a miracle, that it was once-in-a-lifetime experience. And the next time it happened to somebody else. And the next week it happened to two people. And after that session, a psychologist who was one of the class members and invited me to have a cup of coffee with him. So as we sat down in the coffee shop, he said, "Look, Mary, I really want to do this, but, you know, I work for the New York City Board of Mental Health, and I cannot do this in public. I mean, if it ever got out, I would maybe lose my job. Who knows? They would think I'd flipped out." So he said, "I want to do it privately." And I said, "Honestly, I have no idea what's happening or why or anything." And so he said, "Well, look, I'm willing to risk failure if you are, so let's give it a try." And I said, "You know, I don't know if it's a class. I have no idea what's going on, but okay, if you're willing, I'm willing." So we set it up, and he had an absolutely marvelous, very powerful experience in the jungle, in some kind of Aztec or Olmec lifetime. And it made tremendous changes in his life. In the meantime, the medical student reported that her life had gotten better, that she had suffered all her life in agony. She had to go to bed for at least 3 days every month when her period came around. And suddenly, it just sneaked up on her. She didn't even know it was happening until it was already beginning, and there was no pain, and there was nothing, and it was just like a miracle. So, again, I don't know what's going on. But I prayed and meditated and figured, well, you know, this evidently is a gift, and it may be the result of the promise I made to dedicate myself as an instrument of divine purpose. So perhaps this was the divine purpose. And along the way, all the information started getting around, and more people wanted to go into another lifetime. And we realized that this was not past life regression, which was usually done, as far as I knew, was always done under hypnosis. So I meditated, and why is this happening this way? And I'm not doing hypnosis. And in my meditation, it came through that when you go into the past, you can't change anything. Because in your mind, it's all locked up and it's sealed and it's cast in bronze and it's on a tombstone somewhere. But as my favorite spirit guide says, there's only one time, and it's now. There's only one place, and it's here. So here and now is the only time that you can do anything. So what we are actually doing, we're going into another now. And we are in this time and that place. And we can do just like you and I can do here now in the 21st century. And, of course, this was in 1980. So it was technically in the 20th century. So this is how it all began. And the most amazing thing was people came, and some of them expected to go and be a grand person and Cleopatra or Napoleon or some god or goddess or whatever. And a lot of times they really went into a very strange place and they were in very sad circumstances, and spirit always came in and guided them around to avoid the tragedy or the crisis or whatever they had gone through, and they actually lived a whole different life, and many times they lived longer than they had the first time around. So evidently, this is a totally different ballgame. And, you know, somebody is calling in with a question. Let me see if I can get her and see what she would see this person. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
You're calling in. And that
yes.
Voice sounds a little familiar.
It's Candy calling from California, Mary. How
oh,
are you?
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm fantastic. I hope you have been enjoying the discussion I've been having with myself here. Did you have
a
question?
I find it very interesting. And I pictured myself living in past lives. Like, I really believe I was, like, a frontier person. And sometimes
uh-huh.
I believe I was a Chinese person or Asian person because I'm into the Asian, you know, lifestyle, more or less.
Uh-huh.
But I was aware that you brought people back to a different lifetime. That sounds so miraculous.
Well, you know, we don't go back. We go over. It's like imagine if you're in New York, and all of a sudden, bing, just in one second, you can be in Singapore,
mm-hmm.
and it's a totally different time of day, it's a different season, it's a different
mm-hmm.
different language, different customs, different all kinds of different buildings and the flowers and everything that are there. and you're just there, and you're looking around, and you need to find somebody that you really connect with, that draws you to them, and you feel really totally connected. And this will be another lifetime that you lived in Singapore, maybe 100 years ago, maybe 200 years ago. You see? And then we ask questions and we find out where we are and what's going on, and get the name and the different interest of the person that you've connected with. And it's another part of your whole soul. And this is something that just came up, and we were taught this in these journeys, and they're really going places, and we're going to other places and other nows. And it turns out that there is a whole soul, and each of our lifetimes becomes part of that whole soul, adds to it, and the experiences that we had and the things we learned become a part of that whole soul that keeps getting bigger and stronger and wiser. And it's, think of it kind of like an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And one lifetime is like a wave that comes up out of that ocean, stirs things up on the ground, grabs certain things and drags it back into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So this is so totally different than hypnotic regression to past lifetimes. Because go ahead.
Mary, let me just ask you. Now, you're saying like the soul goes from one lifetime to another, and we just keep adding the soul.
But only part of it, because a whole soul is so huge it can't get into a tiny body like we have.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it as a wave coming out of the ocean.
I see. Okay.
And while it's on land, it's separate from the ocean, and yet it's still
mm-hmm.
connected, because you see that it's still connected to the ocean, and yet it's feeling different things. It's feeling the land. It's kind of digging into the land and stirring things up
mm-hmm.
and grabbing things and pulling it back and taking it back to the ocean with it.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's a wonderful metaphor.
Oh, good. So, as we go, then the interesting thing is the ocean, the wave coming from the ocean brings some of the stuff from the ocean with it to the
mm-hmm.
land. So we bring forward, sometimes we bring unresolved conflicts from other lifetimes, things that didn't
mm-hmm.
get settled. Like, for example, maybe if you were burned at the stake for healing people with herbs, not using
mm-hmm.
witchcraft at all, but the ignorant people were scared of you, and they thought you were doing something really wild and something evil, and you were trafficking with the devil, and so. Maybe in this lifetime, you didn't want anything to do with anything green. No vegetables, no herbs, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that kind of make sense?
Because I'm bringing that part of it back into this lifetime.
Right.
So I'm clinging to it.
Yeah, well, it's clinging to you because you haven't
mm-hmm.
finished it. You haven't. Haven't resolved it, haven't settled the situation. So then In one lifetime, woman who was burned at the stake, spirit took her back to before they started the process.
Mm-hmm.
And warned her, saying, look, you know, these people don't understand you. They don't appreciate you. You really should go someplace else. In fact, it's getting kind of dangerous with you, and there is a city that you could go to where there are people who are much smarter and much wiser, and they would be so happy to be able to learn about your incredible healing herbs.
Mm-hmm.
Could you possibly find someone who goes there and ask for a ride? You know, just gather up your herbs and the most important things to you and leave this place.
Go.
And she said, oh, of course I can do that. There's a cabinet maker that goes, and it was in Massachusetts, of course, goes into a big city nearby, and he goes there regularly. I cured his son, so I know he'll be able to help me. So they went, and she wound up setting up a little herb shop, and people were thrilled. They told everybody they knew about her, and she had a wonderful business, and she had a beautiful long life, and she lived maybe way up into her 80s instead of dying in her early 30s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she came back, it was just a miracle. She was flying out of here. She was just glowing and beaming, and this is the kind of things that happen. And I started out calling them soul voyages, you know. And then after
mm-hmm.
a while I realized, well, this is not just a trip. This is real therapy, and this is real healing, and this is resolving karma. It's just wiping it out. We are actually rewriting history and erasing karma.
How interesting. I never thought karma could be changed. I thought we were always, you know, bound by our karma.
That's what billions of people have
outlook
through.
On it.
I mean, in thousands and thousands of years, people have just settled for this and thought that they had to live through it because they were stuck with their karma. And there was
mm-hmm.
nothing they could do about it. It was just their karma. And even some people would use it as a great excuse for things they didn't want to do or did that they couldn't explain. And they'd say, well, my karma made me do it. That's how it always
yeah.
is, you know. And here we find out that karma is... It's like a dirty house that you can clean up.
I would say so now. Now, this is also what your book is about, the book you're writing, correct?
Yeah, well, the first book was Journals of a Healer, a personal account of ventures beyond time, space, and so-called reality. And some people felt that it was confusing, that it was so deep and so different and so amazing that they didn't quite know how to deal with it. And so a literary agent suggested that it was long, and it was you know, there's about 30 of these stories in there of different people and where they went and who they met. And when they met another, and I had to begin to think of it as another incarnation, not a past incarnation, but just another part of their whole soul that they met with and would literally talk with and communicate and
mm-hmm.
and even share information, because you know, and another amazing thing is that a lot of the things that they consider sins, we consider just normal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you know, in Victorian times, a housewife could not put a book by a female author on the same shelf as a book by a male author?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Can you just believe that? And all of the things that they thought were sins, and imagine the things that in the 12th century they thought were sins, or in the Renaissance, or
mm-hmm. everything was practically a sin.
Yeah, like we things that were considered a sin in the 1800s in America, we laugh at now. Wasn't this ridiculous?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine this woman showed her ankle in public.
Uh-huh.
You know,
she was shunned.
It's absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so here, all of this suffering is going on that is totally unnecessary. And there are a lot of things that we today think of as sins that the spirits kind of smile gently and say, well, it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Because we're not aware of that.
Because God is unconditional love. You know? And people try to, they try their best to do things to please God. And God says, great. It's just like, you know, when you have a mother with several different kids, and one of them brings her a dead bird, one of them mm-hmm. brings her a rock, one of them brings her a wilted flower, and one brings her a mud pie. And she accepts this with total love because she knows that her child wanted to give her something wonderful, and it was the best thing they could think to give her.
Mm-hmm.
So we've only got about a minute and a half to go. Is there another question you'd like to ask?
No, I'm sort of enlightened from all this, so I'm sort of lost for words right now because I'm trying to still grasp everything you said to me. But it was a very eye-opening and a brain-opening experience, this conversation. And I'm going to live my life a little bit differently today and from now on.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, we'd like to end with a little meditation. So, if you just take a deep breath and get tight, very tight, till you're trembling, and let go, just like a rag doll, and take a breath and go deep down inside, and find that wonderful place within, where you are totally safe, you're totally protected. Everything you need is there for you, all of the blessings and all of the wealth and everything that you can possibly want from life is there for you. You're totally safe. And just soak it up and then take another deep breath and stretch a little bit. And float back up to your present and open your eyes and look how bright and wonderful everything is.
Oh, wow.
And how powerful and free you are.
Thank you,
Isn't
Mary.
Good?
It's wonderful.
And thank you. And for everyone listening
soon in,
love and light.
Thank you for the wisdom, Mary. Love you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.